The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had some preseason football this weekend, which was great, of course, but I do have some thoughts on a new rule change that has taken place this year, and it is called dynamic kickoff. It is the new kickoff that we get this year, which in my opinion has completely just eliminated the kickoff, so you might as well just get rid of the kickoff at this point because it is that bad and that unwatchable, and I just could not believe my eyes when I finally, because, you know, I didn't watch the Hall of Fame game, but I did hear some people discuss this, and I knew I was going to see it, but I did not expect it to be as stupid as it looks. So basically, instead of the usual kickoff that we get, which is one of the most electric and fun plays in the game that we have ever had, it can change the trajectory of games in many ways, shapes, and forms. Hell, we don't even really get an onside kick anymore. They've basically taken that out of the game the last couple of seasons, and now this has really taken it out of the game. So the new dynamic kickoff looks like this. If you have yet to see it, believe me, you'll see it, and it looks stupid as fuck, but here it is. Basically, the kickoff team, the kicker has the ball at the 35-yard line, and the defenders, or the rest of the guys on the kickoff team, instead of being lined up where the kicker is, they are now lined up 5 yards ahead of the kicker, meaning they are lined up at the 40-yard line. Then the opposing team, all of their guys, except for two guys in the back, they are lined up at the 5 yards away from them. So if they're at the 40, so what's that make that? Like 45, something like that. I think it was 45. Regardless, they just are looking at each other. And then there's two guys back near the end zone to receive the ball. When you kick off the ball, it either goes out of the end zone, which most of the time it's probably going to. I'm sure they're going to create some new little plays and everything to try and do the best they can with this stupid, idiotic, dynamic kickoff. But basically, if you kick it out of the end zone, boom, goes out of the end zone. You get the ball at the 35, I believe. Who cares? But then if you kick the ball in between the 35 and the 10, I believe, or there's a kickoff zone, they call it. And if the ball lands in there, you have to take the ball and run it out. And so far, from what I've seen, this has been a joke. It has been stupid. It looks dumb. And hopefully it doesn't last past this season because it really has eliminated an exciting part of the game. Like I said, they've taken out basically the onside kick over the last couple of years, which sucks because the onside kick can sometimes completely change the game. But I digress. And this, of course, is out of the goodness of safety, which we all know. They don't give two shits and a fuck about safety. They just want to pretend they give two shits and a fuck about safety. But anyways, I was not happy with the dynamic kickoff. I think it looks stupid as hell. But I guess I better get used to it because it's going to be going on at least through the rest of this season. It looks stupid as hell, in my opinion. Just a couple of quick hits in the NFL preseason, the first preseason weekend of football. I mean, none of this matters, so take with it a grain of salt with everything that I say. But, you know, so a couple of things did happen. My Dallas Cowboys, they had 4 interceptions on defense. Now, pretty much the chump squad played for the most part. But you know what? I like to see that even the backups have 4 interceptions because we were already ball hawks. But now even the backups are ball hawks. And I like to see that continue. So that was great for me to see. Then up in Denver, Bo Nix, he actually led the Broncos on 4 scoring drives. He actually on 4 out of his 5 drives that he ended up playing in that game. So it looks like the Denver Broncos may potentially have a future starting quarterback. Then Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals, he came back from his wrist injury that ended his season last year. He ended up taking the Bengals on a nice little touchdown drive. Rookie J.J. McCarthy, quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, he threw for 2 touchdowns, so who knows? I wouldn't be shocked if we see him at some point this season. Then rookie quarterback for the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, he took them on a TD drive. We had some players showing out. We had some rookies playing. We had some guys coming back from injury playing. So, like I said, none of it matters. Sometimes you see some things and you go, hey, look, Joe Burrow's back from injury, which is, if you're a Bengals fan, I'm sure you were extremely happy to see that. And then in a little bit of other NFL news, which was actually kind of hilarious news, is I did mention that defensive end Hassan Reddick has been holding out of New York Jets training camp and preseason games so far to start the season because he wants a new contract. And the funny thing about this is that the Jets just traded for him in the offseason, but they did not give him a new contract, so he's wanting the contract. Didn't happen. So he actually today requested a trade. Now, the Jets have said they are not going to trade him away, so that's too bad for you. But very interesting turn of events that has happened with the Hassan Reddick trade because they just got him. He hasn't played a down for this team, but yet they are going at it over contract issues. So we'll see what happens with that, if he ends up getting traded again or if he just ends up coming back and playing at some point this season or he maybe even getting that new contract. All right, moving on to baseball and the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. There are a few teams that are actually slumping in the wrong direction, and then a few teams that are slumping. They are going up, actually headed up right now. And then, of course, we have the usual suspects. So let's begin with the number one is still the Baltimore Orioles, overall record of 70-49, one of the first teams to make it to the 70-win plateau regular season record right now. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, so they're not playing that great. But they still are one of the best teams in the league and couldn't really drop them back. This past week, they lost the series to the Toronto Blue Jays, but then took the series over the Tampa Bay Rays. They're getting some good pitching from Grayson Rodriguez, who's got 13 wins on the season and 130 strikeouts. And then you have Corbin Burnes right there with them with 12 wins, a 2.71 ERA, and 137 strikeouts. So they're really getting it done with the starting pitching. It's just they are not as powerful as they were, but I mean, hey, it's August and there's still plenty of time and they still are the top team in the American League right now. Then at number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 70-49 as well. So they are the other team that has 70 wins on the season. Those are the only two teams right now with 70 wins on the season in the same division. So like I said, this division is going to it's going to come down to these two guys and these two teams, and they are they just keep it moving. And right now, the Yankees, they are 6-4 in their last 10 games as well. They split the series with the Los Angeles Angels, but then they took the series over the Texas Rangers. And then, of course, on Aaron Judge watch for the Triple Crown this year. Right now, he leads the league with 42 home runs. He also leads the league with 106 RBI. And he is second right now, only behind Bobby Witt Jr. In batting average, with a batting average of .328. So he continues his amazing season and really well in play for the Triple Crown. And then, of course, Juan Soto, he's also right there behind Judge, batting a .304 with 30 home runs and 82 RBI. So these two guys really can't be stopped. It's really just with the Yankees, their starting pitching has really fallen apart this second half of the season, and they just really can't get it going. So we'll see what happens there with that. But offensively, they are actually playing really well. And like I said, Aaron Judge has the potential to hit that Triple Crown mark. And it's looking more and more likely each and every week because he is just not losing a step at all. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 69-49. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Philadelphia Phillies, but then swept the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've also kind of had their up and down moments, but still they are a stacked team, especially on the offensive side. But with the starting pitching, Tyler Glasnow, he is having an amazing season with 9 wins, a 3.49 ERA, and 168 strikeouts. So he is one of the top guys in the league with strikeouts. And then you have Teoscar Hernandez, who's just been a journeyman throughout the league. But this year, he is right behind Shohei Ohtani, their biggest offensive producer. He's batting a .275 with 26 home runs and 79 RBI. And he's really just had some big game-winning hits. So Teoscar Hernandez really coming out there and being a huge source of offense for the Dodgers. And they really didn't even expect him to do that. He was really just kind of expected to be the old scrappy veteran to just come in and make some plays. And he's actually having one of the best seasons of his entire career. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 69-49. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games, and they are slumping hard right now. I mean, the Phillies have been on what seems like a never-ending losing streak the last, like, 2-3 weeks now. But this past week, they did take the series over the Los Angeles Dodgers, but then they got smashed by the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I mean smashed. Like, this team could not get any offense going. Really, their only bright spot at this point in time is Zach Wheeler's got 11 wins on the season with a .278 ERA and 156 strikeouts. And they do have, of course, Schwarber and Alec Baum, who are both doing great for them offensively. But Bryce Harper has been kind of streaky as of late, and I kind of feel like that's what's been holding them back lately with their offense. But still, they are a good team, and I keep saying it, I expect them to turn this around and bounce back, but at this point, who knows? I mean, when you slump for a couple of weeks, that could turn into something bad. But still, they have a lot of depth, and I still expect them to step it back up a bit here. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another team that is in a big slump, who hasn't really slumped at all this season, is the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 69-49. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And they actually went on a 6-game losing streak this past week. So it's really just been bad for them. They lost a series over the Arizona Diamondbacks, just got completely demolished by them. And then they split the series with the Minnesota Twins. And they really got a big win that they needed to get just yesterday with Jose Ramirez smashing another home run. But overall, the Cleveland Guardians haven't really had much to write home about, and they've also been kind of right there with the Phillies with a little bit of a slump the last couple of weeks. And with the Guardians, though, it's not really surprising because they don't have that great of starting pitching. It's really just their offense that's really been keeping them above water. But right now, they are not looking good, and they have Minnesota right up on their ass, and also the Kansas City Royals as well. So they may start losing their grip on that American League Central here. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 67-50. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Atlanta Braves and then also took the series over the Cincinnati Reds, so they really had a good week. And it's really all about their rookie, Jackson Churio. He is batting he's batting a .269 with 14 home runs and 50 RBI. So he's really getting it done and, just showing out for this team offensively. But I mean, really, the Brewers are really just doing it all around. Their pitching's getting it done. Bullpen's holding it down as best they can. And then offensively, they're getting it done. And then defensively as well. They're really, they are probably the most streaky team in the league, but they do have a really, really good lead over the St. Louis Cardinals right now in their division. So I kind of look at the Brewers as a team that's got a straight shot to the playoffs if they just keep playing the same way they've been playing all season long. Then at number 7 on our top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 66-53. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Miami Marlins. I mean, they were on a hot streak this week. They just got stopped by the Marlins just yesterday. I mean, really, the hottest team in the league, the two hottest teams in the league right now basically are the Padres and the Diamondbacks. And the Padres, they are just getting it done in every single way. They've also got a great rookie by the name of Jackson Merrill, batting a .291 with 17 home runs and 64 RBI. He's also had multiple game-winning hits in the ninth inning and in extra innings as well. So this dude is not only getting it done, but he is clutch as fuck. So the Padres are getting it done offensively. And then, of course, their starting pitching is really holding it down. So you got to really look out for the Padres to actually potentially be a threat for the Los Angeles Dodgers here down the stretch. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, was just talking about them, and that is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 66-53, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians and the Philadelphia Phillies, so they just beat two really solid teams. And right now, the Diamondbacks are actually first in the league with 624 runs. So they go from nothing to leading the league in runs. I mean, they really were struggling for offense the first half of the season. And now that here we are in the second half of the season, we are looking at the National League champions last year who represented in the World Series. You know, they were a hot team. They started off the season real cold, but now here they are. They look to be back to where they left off last season. So you really got to look out for them, especially the Dodgers, because the Diamondbacks, they're beating good teams, and they have no fear against the Dodgers. So we'll see what happens here in the National League West down the stretch, because the Dodgers have not been as dominating as they usually are. And you've got the Padres here and the Arizona Diamondbacks both on their ass right now. And it's going to be an interesting last couple of months here in the National League West. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 62-55. This is also one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Texas Rangers and the Boston Red Sox. And I mean, when I say hottest team, they are real. Like, this last month has been Houston Astros. They are on fire, and they are kicking down the door and waving the 4-4. They are just killing it right now, having a fantastic year. And this is probably the last team you want to see get really hot because, like I continue to say, this team is a couple years removed from winning one World Series. They've been one of the best playoff contenders over the years. So they have a lot of playoff experience. They have a lot of seasoned vets, and they are playing hot baseball right now. You got Yordan Alvarez. He started off the season kind of cold. You would say cold for him, but here he is batting a .307 with 25 home runs and 63 RBI. So he's mashing it now. And then you take a look at the starting pitching. They've got Valdez pitching great right now, Brown and Blanco as well, and then they're going to get Verlander back here in the next couple of weeks. So this starting pitching is going to be back to its full force. It's still the bullpen that is their issues, but hey, they're still the Houston Astros, and this is really the last team I feel like anybody wants to see come postseason if they are this hot. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Seattle Mariners. Overall record of 63-56. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Detroit Tigers, but swept the New York Mets. And they really are getting it done with their starting pitching. Like, they started off kind of shaky as well with the starting pitching, but now pretty much every starter is getting it done, and they are really difficult to score runs against. You got Gilbert, who's got 7 wins on the season with a 2.91 ERA and 149 strikeouts. Then you also have George Kirby with 8 wins, a 3.13 ERA and 138 strikeouts. So they've really got some solid young guns. And then, of course, Castillo as well. But then you also have their catcher, Cal Raleigh, who has just been knocking home runs out of the park. I mean, his batting average, not that good. It's only a .212 right now. But he's got 26 home runs and 76 RBI on the season, which leads the team. And I mean, he's got multiple game winners throughout this season. So he's really been clutch and coming through and pretty much been their big source of offense, which is shocking when you have Julio Rodriguez out there, who's actually kind of having a down year. But Cal Raleigh has stepped it up for him and really taken over for the Mariners. And that's just another team you look at. They've been pretty hot as well, but they're just one of those teams you never really know what's going to happen. And then you've got the Astros in their division, and with what the Astros are doing, I'm pretty much expecting the Astros to just kind of roll through the next couple of months and easily win that division. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Friday.